Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear a Behind the Mic with narrator Frankie Corzo. We'll follow that with reviews in science fiction and fantasy, with a review of The Last Campaign, Near Earth Mysteries, Book 2 by Martin L. Shoemaker. It's an Earphones winner read by Rebecca Mozo. After that, we have a few reviews in children and family listening, including a review of Earphones winner Tristan Strong Destroys the World, Tristan Strong Series, Book 2, by Kwame Mbalia, read by Amir Abdullah. Let's get right to it. Behind the Mic with Frankie Corzo. Narrator Frankie Corzo joined host Joe Reed to talk about her audiobooks, including Mexican Gothic, Silvia Moreno Garcia's eerie horror novel, and one of Audiophile's 2020 best audiobooks. Frankie shares her story of how she got her start in acting and in audio, her thoughts on the immersive Mexican Gothic, and the joys of bringing complicated and multidimensional Latinx stories to life for listeners of all ages. This is an excerpt, but you can hear their full conversation in a bonus episode of our podcast, Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine, at audiophilemagazine.com/podcast. Josephine Reed. I want to talk about Mexican Gothic. It was just fascinating to me, but can you give us a little bit of thumbnail about that one? Frankie Corzo. It was fascinating to me as well. I mean, it's a really fun gothic horror. I guess we can put it in the horror category. Joe Reed. Sure, I think you can. I thought it was scary. Frankie Corzo. Oh, I didn't find it scary. It's a really lush world. I just think it's so beautifully written and so immersively written. In this world where you have a house that's kind of coming alive and all these classic gothic elements, but set in Mexico. It had a lot of cultural richness, which is always beautiful when that can be a part of a story without being the essence of the story or being the thing that we keep pointing to. We can just have this really delicious genre writing, and that cultural stuff really informs the overall world and experience of following our protagonist, Noemi, through her journey. Reading has always been very visual for me, and I came to reading before I came to acting, even though I came to acting quite young. I had my Teddy Ruxpin, and I also had a Mickey Mouse that read out loud, which was very special. So stories, and then later films and TV, kind of saved my life and gave me this world to escape to. Mexican Gothic is this really rich example of everything I loved about it. I think that's why the scary stuff doesn't get to me so much in it, because it's just part of the world. It is something you have to kind of go into and just surrender to this journey that you're going to be taken on. Because it was a Penguin Random House book, the wonderful Dan Zitt and I had conversation about it for their YouTube. He said when he started listening to it, he was immediately immersed in it, and I was like, oh good, then I've done my job. Joe Reed. Mexican Gothic has quite a range of characters. I'm curious about your process for determining the voice for any given character. Frankie Corzo. Very early on, when I started doing audiobooks, I learned that there are the kind of giants among us who have a preternatural ability to make these really distinct, crazy character voices, and I was like, okay, if I go that way, it's going to feel like a caricature. Even when I do a children's book, I don't want it to feel performative. Or as much as it is a performance, I want it to feel as grounded and as relatable and as in the skin of these people as possible. So with every character, I always go from the entryway of their characteristics. How are they described as far as how they carry themselves? You know, once we get past accents, once we get past anything that is really concrete that the author has informed us about, what are the characters saying about them? And what do they say about themselves? And how do they carry themselves in the world? And how does that affect their voice? Going that route for me personally allows me more to play with when we're in different acts of the book, when we're in different places in their journey. You know, especially with a younger protagonist or a lot of the books that I've gotten to do this year, like Natalia Sylvester's Running, our protagonist begins not really sure of her voice yet and figuring out all these things at the end. At the end, she's like this revolutionary. And how does that affect your voice? So I always try to go from the root of the character as far as personality and physicality more than I go from a place of purely what they would sound like, if that makes sense. Joe Reed. And what about the narration part, where you're just giving us the description? Frankie Corzo. I think I go from the place of being a really consumed observer, like putting myself in the place of the reader as much as possible so we can discover it together, and knowing where I'm going, especially in something like Mexican Gothic, where you have all those tonal shifts and you're working through a bunch of things. I don't ever want to get stuck in a place of narrating by rote or just spewing information. So there were definitely places where I asked my lovely director, did that all track? Because you're moving through these very visual, consuming, longer stanzas when you're like, okay, I just want to make sure that you got the thread. And the only way for me to relay that for a listener is to be there with them as much as possible, and to keep actively discovering it. Joe Reed. Well, this goes back to last year's The Death and Life of Aida Hernandez by Aaron Bobrow Strain, which is just such a brilliant book. Frankie Corzo. Yeah, I cried a lot recording that. Joe Reed. It's a biography, so you know, a very personal account. But then there's also a lot of history. And then it really is very journalistic. So all these things are happening in the midst of this very harrowing personal story. Frankie Corzo. You know, I had a director say to me, make sure in a situation like that, you hold the point of view of the author. You are the author, especially in nonfiction, telling the story and telling their take on it. So it's not as impersonal as traditional news, especially something like Aida Hernandez. It's very, again, consuming. I mean, I still think about her. I still think about that journey. That was one that was particularly difficult for me to create any sort of space between myself and what I was talking about. I think it just boils down to empathy. It just boils down to feeling what you're saying. You know, what feels so silly and actory to say, but Joe Reed. But I think it's a really tricky needle to thread, because at the same time, you want your feelings to, and I don't mean to speaking for you, but I would imagine you want your feelings to be a conduit, but you don't want them to get in the way. Frankie Corzo. Yeah, I guess you never want to tell an audience how to feel. Joe Reed. Right, you don't want to feel for them. Frankie Corzo, right. But I think you're kind of discovering and processing it in live time as you're recording or acting, whatever it is you're doing. I really treat narrating as I do every other medium of acting because I think it does all translate. It translates more for me to have a thought about what I'm reading and to be actively involved with what I'm reading out loud than it does for me to be like, my voice sounds like this now. If that's not grounded in anything, then it doesn't have the same effect. And that was Joe Reed's interview behind the mic with Frankie Corzo. Okay, now we will turn our attention to our reviews in science fiction. and fantasy. And our first review is an Earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is Heaven's River, Bobbyverse Book 4 by Dennis E. Taylor, read by Ray Porter. And as I said, it's an earphones winner. Narrator Ray Porter is a multi-character wonder in Taylor's newest sci-fi Bobbyverse adventure set in interstellar space. That it's only available on audio speaks to the fan base Porter has built with his terrific narration of the previous novels. So to catch up, it's the year 2334. Former human Bob, who is now a sentient space probe with self-replicating cloning powers, must cope with a potential war between early and recent replicants and the story of an intelligent species that may be devolving on a specially constructed malevolent planet. Adventure, humor, science, and Star Trek references ensue. Porter cleverly differentiates between original Bob and his many replicants, creates a lisping alien, makes the tech talk clear, channels the deadpan humor, and jumps full-throatedly into entertaining battle. Aurelia C. Scott wrote that review of Heaven's River, Bobbyverse Book 4 by Dennis Taylor, an earphones winner read by Ray Porter. It's available from Audible Inc. for 17 hours of unabridged listening. This is just a reminder that you are listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, continuing now with our reviews in science fiction and fantasy, we have White Trash Warlock, Adam Binder, Book 1 by David R. Slayton, read by Michael David Axtell. Michael David Axtell's agile narration will keep listeners engaged with this fantasy romp about a gay witch who is searching for his long-lost and possibly evil father. Adam wants nothing to do with his brother Bobby, who had Adam committed to a mental hospital because he can see the spirit realm. But when an evil spirit possesses Bobby's wife, Adam agrees to help her and is drawn back into his family's conflict. Axtell's narration is a wonder. He captures Adam's nervous rambling, Bobby's aloofness, and their mother's raspy drawl. He also does a range of accents with ease, including the refined tones of an elf prince and the haunting speech of Death herself. Full of heart and memorable characters, this is an audiobook not to miss. Laura Sackton wrote that review of White Trash Warlock, Adam Binder, Book 1 by David R. Slayton. It's read by Michael David Axtell, and it's available from Blackstone Audio for 9.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Phoenix Extravagant by Yoon Ha Lee, read by Emily Wu Zeller. Narrator Emily Wu Zeller introduces two non-binary characters in this fantasy about a world occupied by invaders. One character is Jebby, an artist who works with the occupants on painting the magical seals that animate their automaton soldier and dragon. The other is the automaton dragon, whom Jebby befriends. Zeller creates a complex persona for Jebby, sometimes timid, other times bold. The character is mostly apolitical, but ultimately becomes a revolutionary. Zeller builds intensity and emotion as Jebby is faced with making hard decisions as they seek to be true to their art and honor their culture and family. Zeller is adept at creating a range of relationships, from the most intimate to the most restrained. She maintains a pace that is comfortable for listeners throughout. Joyce McCarty wrote that review of Phoenix Extravagant by Yoon Ha Lee, read by Emily Wu Zeller. It's available from Recorded Books for 10 hours, unabridged. Our next review today in science fiction and fantasy is Ring Shout. It's written by P. Jelly Clark, and it's read by Channy Waits. Narrator Channy Waits thrills in this fantasy, which blends historical and supernatural storytelling to revisit the Ku Klux Klan's reign of terror in the Jim Crow South. Waits gives depth and unique vocal stamps to the main characters, who possess extraordinary powers they use to exterminate otherworldly monsters called Ku Kluxes. Waits' performance of the various monstrous characters is chilling. Listeners will also appreciate her seamless transitions between Gullah, English, and French at various points. This wonderful story is made even better by Waits' performance. G. Pat Patterson wrote that review of Ring Shout. It's written by P. Jelly Clark, read by Channy Waits. It's available from Recorded Books for 5.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Last Campaign, Near Earth Mysteries, Book 2 by Martin Shoemaker. It's read by Rebecca Mozo, and it's an Earphones winner. Rebecca Mozo impressively introduces life in Maxwell City on Mars, along with the array of international citizens who make up the settlement. Listeners will meet founder Nicolau Ames and his wife, police chief Rosalia Moraes, and learn about the city's everyday life, food, unique gardening, restaurants, and stores. Characters sound realistic, as Moraes' job becomes more difficult when the population increases and political affiliations interfere with police investigations. Mozo excels with the many accents and riveting descriptions, and listeners will feel like they are by Moraes' side as she personally takes on daily challenges. Discussions between her and her police squad are fascinating and intimate. Audio is the optimal choice for this matchless story, which relies heavily on dialogue. Susan Baird wrote that review of The Last Campaign, Near Earth Mysteries, Book 2 by Martin Shoemaker. It's an Earphones winner, read by Rebecca Mozo, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 10.5 hours, unabridged. Our last science fiction and fantasy review is The Ministry for the Future. It's written by Kim Stanley Robinson, and it's read by Jennifer Fitzgerald and a full cast, and it's an Earphones winner. Jennifer Fitzgerald leads a full cast in this compelling work of speculative fiction about solving the climate crisis around the world. Fitzgerald does the heavy lifting as Mary Murphy, the woman put in charge of solving the global crisis. Because the cast of characters come from every continent, Fitzgerald must move from her native Irish lilt into a variety of accents and back with hardly a moment to breathe. The listener feels totally immersed. There is a full cast delivering other parts, yet the fact that Fitzgerald is left to her own devices for over half the book exemplifies her skill in characterization. This story is heavy but important. Be prepared to lose sleep, as you won't want to pause for anything. Anthony Farina wrote that review of The Ministry for the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson. It's read by Jennifer Fitzgerald and a full cast. It's an Earphones winner, and it's available from Machete Audio for 20.75 hours of unabridged listening. Now we'll turn our attention to some reviews in children and family listening. And our first review today is The Circus of Stolen Dreams by Lorelei Savarin, read by Jesse Valinsky, and it's an Earphones winner. Jesse Valinsky's narration perfectly fits the manic mood of this mild horror story. in which children surrender memories or dreams in exchange for a ticket to an otherworldly circus. Valinsky's tone is melancholy as we meet Andrea, who is still mourning the mysterious disappearance of her younger brother 3 years ago. Soon the narration becomes exciting and friendly as a perky ringmaster coaxes Andrea into the gated circus grounds. Once there, Andrea meets Penny, a girl as saccharine as the array of sweets at the circus. Valinsky's portrayal of Penny is perfectly overdone, just enough to cast a creepy atmosphere within the otherwise seemingly joyful circus. Later, she hypnotically reads the spell-weaving words of the Sandman, whose intentions may not be what they seem. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of The Circus of Stolen Dreams by Lorelei Savarin. It's an Earphones winner, read by Jesse Valinsky, and it's available from Listening Library for 7.75 hours of unabridged listening, ages 10 and up. Next, we have Tristan Strong Destroys the World. Tristan Strong Series, Book 2 by Kwame Mbalia, an Earphones winner, read by Amir Abdullah. Listeners who loved the first Tristan Strong audiobook are in for a treat. Amir Abdullah has returned to narrate the next chapter. Tristan, a black seventh grader, has spent the past month working on his grandparents' farm. When creatures from Alka break through into his world, Tristan and his grandmother fight them off, but then the sinister Shamble Man steals her away. Tristan, with the reluctant help of the trickster god Anansi, travels to Alka to rescue her. Abdullah keeps up with the fast-paced story, propelling listeners from one action scene to the next, while sensitively touching on the impact of trauma, the legacy of enslavement, and the diaspora. Abdullah's lively characterizations are perfect, from the high-pitched and hilarious Gum Baby to the menacing Shamble Man. Truly excellent. That review by Emily Connolly was of Tristan Strong Destroys the World, Tristan Strong Series, Book 2, by Kwame Mbalia. It's an Earphones winner, read by Amir Abdullah, and it's available from Listening Library for 9.5 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. Continuing in Children and Family Listening, we have Maya and the Rising Dark by Rena Barron, read by Sonila Nankani, and it's an Earphones winner. Narrator Sonila Nankani delivers an animated performance in this audiobook about a girl's search for her father who is missing in the dark world. Maya's father, an Orisha, is tasked with maintaining the veil between the human world and the dark in order to stop the Lord of Shadows from destroying humankind. As a half-Orisha, Maya must figure out how to use her newfound powers and brave the dark to rescue her father. Added sound effects of intense winds, mysterious creatures, and magical light create an intense and memorable listening experience. Nankani's emotional connection and pace will delight listeners of all ages. Alex Ritchie wrote that review of Maya and the Rising Dark. It's written by Rena Barron. It's an Earphones winner by Sonila Nankani, and it's available from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt for 7.5 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. Next we have Loopy Wong Won't Dance by Donna Barbara Higuera, read by Kyla Garcia. Narrator Kyla Garcia deftly creates a middle school, its ethnically diverse students, and their eclectic encounters. To start, listeners will join baseball player Loopy Wong, who is chagrined to learn that her PE class will require square dancing. Garcia's Loopy is a determined girl who strongly resists the gym assignment and persuades her classmates to join her in protest. Listeners hear the square dance calls as the kids practice. Garcia shines at portraying Niles, a special needs student, and Snaggletooth Gordon, whose enthusiasm for square dancing makes up for the reluctance of his classmates. Most engaging is a family dinner with Lupe's Chinese and Mexican grandparents. The lively conversation is priceless. The multiple accents throughout the story are well done. This spirited story promotes friendship and collaboration. Susan Baird wrote that review of Lupe Wang Won't Dance. It's written by Donna Barbara Guerra, read by Kyla Garcia. It's available from Dreamscape for 7.25 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. Next today we have The Marvelwood Magicians by Diane Zoller, read by Sarah Zimmerman. Narrator Sarah Zimmerman captures the wonder in this middle grade mystery set against the backdrop of a traveling circus. Maddie's family, the Marvelwood Magicians, are traveling performers whose talents, mind reading, fortune telling, even invisibility, are entirely real. The Marvelwoods never seem to fit in, but when they join Master Morph's Circus of Wonder, all that changes. Zimmerman sensitively conveys Maddie's shy delight at finding friends and a place to call home, while also depicting her maturing understanding of the choices her parents have made. When tragedy strikes and the circus is put in danger, Zimmerman brings forth Maddie's determination to protect her loved ones and set things right. Ringing with sincerity, this dynamic and captivating audio is a perfect choice for family listening. Sarah Hashimoto wrote that review of The Marvelwood Musicians by Diane Zoller, read by Sarah Zimmerman. It's available from Live Oak Media for 5.25 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll finish reviews in Children and Family Listening. Then we'll have reviews in Personal Growth, and we'll follow that with Thomas Walken's column, Learning by Ear, this time including 5 reviews covering the topics words and music. So until next time, thanks for listening.